number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Wound studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. You know what they say.
You know what they say. See a broad to get that booty act. Leg it down. Smack on jack.
Night time.
You know the night.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
If we die, we die together.
And YahooSportsRadio.com.
Tony D with you.
Getting interactive, recapping everything that's going down.
And giving you your first chance to react. Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Yahoo Sports Radio
is now.
Oh, got to be.
This is what we do.
From the Quick and Wound studios, here's Tony D.
It's hour number three here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Thanks for joining us tonight. So, Bo Ryan leaves in the middle of the season. Steve Spurrier left in the middle of the season. Is there a difference between the two guys? Yes, there is. Bo Ryan announced that he wanted to retire at the end of the year anyway and sort of set things in motion so that his assistant coach could take over. Where I always believed that Steve Spurrier left because, doggone it, it just was a little too much. Spurrier sitting there at that press conference in after the LSU loss, I saw a guy just plain quit. I didn't see a guy plain quit with Bo Ryan, and I'm not playing favorites here. I'm not bitter, a bitter South Carolina Gamecock that saw his coach just walk off with his team. I saw what Bo Ryan did is very smart, very shrewd, and very calculating, and very loyal. Because giving the job up to Greg Gard, he wants him to have the job. He wants him to have the job. And this is the method in which he feels Gard could get the gig. Go do something with this team. It may not be the team we had last year because, boy, we had a special team. But if this is a team that's salvageable, we could do something here. If you get this team together, if you start playing right, if there's an energy around this in this building, if they are excited to play for you and they go out and win some games they probably shouldn't and win the games they absolutely should, we'll make the NCAA tournament. We won't be a number one seed, and we won't be the perennial favorites. But get in and do something there. And then these powerful boosters may just push the administration, Barry Alvarez, to give you the job. Because it's clear this is what Bo Ryan wants. And this is the thing. When, even though you do not, under any circumstances as an athletic director, bow to the whims of a coach that is leaving the program, it does carry some weight that the guy that took this basketball team, this basketball program, that was nothing and turned it into something. Sure, they had a couple of stops. Zach Miller had joined us in the first hour tonight and said, look, they had a Final Four, two Final Four appearances before Bo Ryan. But the reality is, this was a non-existent program. Bo Ryan put Wisconsin basketball on the map. And I think that carries some weight with boosters. I really do. Steve Spurrier could have lobbied all he wanted for Sean Elliott. But the reality was, Sean Elliott was going to earn that job if he played well and coached well down the stretch. And he didn't do it. He lost to the Citadel. He didn't win some games in the SEC that South Carolina probably could have won. He didn't get the job. Will Muschamp got the job. If Greg Gard coaches well enough and people are realistic about the team he has and takes that team and does something with it, the fact that he did that and the fact that Bo Ryan orchestrated it so that he could get this shot for his resume and to showcase his head coaching skills could lead to him getting this job, and that's why this is different. I have no doubt in my mind that he cared enough about his assistant coach getting this job, his associate head coach getting this job, that's why he did this. I will not believe, no matter how many letters he writes to the local paper or to the alumni or to whoever, I do not believe Steve Spurrier said, I want Sean Elliott to have this job so bad I am walking away. Spurrier walked away because he was tired and his team stunk. His team was not capable of winning games and he knew it. And he just didn't want to go through with it anymore. He penned a beautiful letter and explained his reasoning. It was fine. A lot of it was believable, but a lot of it was just pandering to a crowd that wanted him to say how awesome the program was and the program was more important than him. Because that's what alumni like. Alumni don't need you to like their school like they do, but they do need you to care about their school like they do. And Bo Ryan cares about Wisconsin enough. He cares about Greg Gard enough to give him a chance. It's the two circumstances are a little different. I don't think the argument though goes away. I think there are always going to be people that see a coach leave midseason, and no matter what was the overriding circumstance, I think there are always going to be people that say, you know what? It's still quitting on your kids. No matter how you slice it, no matter how you spin it, it's still quitting on your kids. There was a belief by the South Carolina players that they would be coached to the end by Steve Spurrier. There was a belief by some of the Wisconsin players that Bo Ryan would finish the season and then probably leave the game. Either way, and look, if most of the kids on Wisconsin say, hey, you know what, we kind of knew he was going to be done in a couple weeks. We kind of had a feeling he was going to call it quits. There were hints enough at practice that he was finishing this up and that he was going to walk away. That's fine. But there's always going to be the debate by people that say, hey, you know what? You start something, you finish something. You want to walk away in the offseason? Walk away in the offseason. But when the season starts and you're at the helm, you don't walk away. No matter how bad things are, you don't walk away. I get it, but I look at these two guys and I understand. With Bo Ryan, I understand a little more. Greg Gard is not getting the job if Bo Ryan stays to the end, or at least maybe that's what he feels. Maybe he looks at the situation and goes, I just can't trust that Greg Gard gets the job. Maybe he does. Maybe Barry Alvarez is saying, no, I'm keeping this in-house. No. You may not think I'll give him that job, that I'll go get the best available candidate from some other program, but you know what? No, I want a guy the kids believe in now. Maybe that would have happened. But I think Bo Ryan was smart enough to know, if I'm a betting guy, the bet's going to be, if I finish out this season, that there are going to be X amount of candidates that are available. Tony Bennett's name had been thrown out there, but Zach Miller earlier tonight pointed out that the buyout for his contract in Virginia, which is a good place to coach. By the way, I don't think you'll leave Virginia for Wisconsin. Wisconsin is a great place. Madison is one of the top places to raise a family, all of that stuff. But I don't think you leave Virginia to go to Wisconsin. I don't think you have to. I think it's a lateral move, and I don't think coaches should make lateral moves. But the buyout anyway was enough. So Tony Bennett's name that's been floating out there enough is not one to consider. But still, Wisconsin could have the creme de la creme, the best of the best. They could coax a guy out of retirement if they wanted to, for crying out loud. That's a good job. Made so by Bo Ryan, and he wants his guy to have it. 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. And you want to know how I know Steve Spurrier didn't really care if Sean Elliott got the job or not? Because he vouched for Will Muschamp. He said, oh yeah, Will Muschamp, a great hire. He vouched for Will Muschamp. So he wasn't exactly all in on Sean Elliott. He wasn't sacrificing his season for Sean Elliott. Bo Ryan did something pretty shrewd. All right, coming up next, politics and sports. They go together in so many ways. We've had the political process step in on a number of issues regarding stadiums being built, team relocation. Heck, Judge Sonia Sotomayor helped end the baseball lockout, the baseball strike of 1994. We have used politicians, have used sports in a variety of different ways. Hillary Clinton wore a Cubs hat one time to show her support for the Cubs. She's worn a Yankee hat. We've had politicians pander to all sorts of fan bases. But when does this marriage not work? I'll give you the case of what happened in Missouri next. It's Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
This guy's on. Back to the Quick and Loud Studios. And back to Tony D.
Remember early November, when the Missouri football team decided that they were going to protest what was the racial issue that was going on campus that caused the president of Missouri to resign from his job? And the political debate that went back and forth on that? And the realization that, oh my God, the football team actually has some power. Once Gary Pinkel supported the students in this protest, things moved rather quickly in that case. Well, we just can't have that, can we? So let me bring you Missouri State Representative Rick Bratton and his bill, House Bill 1743, that says that if an athlete is on a college scholarship, calls, incites, supports, or participates in any strike or concerted refusal to play a scheduled game, you could have his college scholarship revoked. This bill was pulled back. But you can just see the world of sports and politics not mixing well on this one. Now, let me say, I don't like getting into politics on this show. I don't think it's the reason you listen, but I do get into sports when sports and politics do merge. And on this case, they do merge. When that strike happened, when that potential boycott happened, my first reaction wasn't, oh my gosh, they're going to cause, you know, some action. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know if this was going to lead to the resignation of the school president. But what I did see down the line was there is power here. This was one of the first times I had heard a major program say, we're not playing. And it could have been over anything. We're not playing. Student athlete voices are important for the change of a system that most of us have grown to sort of dislike. The amateur status of college athletes and the exploitation of such athletes to the betterment of a lot of people except the athlete. For years and years and years, I was an anti-pay the athlete kind of guy. But the more I saw the exploitation of this, the more stories started popping out about how, you know what, they talk about I'm a student athlete, but there isn't really a lot of time to be a student. That's when I went, hey, you know what? Maybe we can start divvying up the pie a little bit. Sure, there are problems. How much do you give the golf team? How much do you give the diving team? How much do you give the women's volleyball team? I get all that. I've gone through this up and down. But the key to any reform is the ability and the willingness of the people that are participating in the process to have a voice in the process. This bill is stupid because it eliminates a free speech voice that student athletes should absolutely have. You know, one of the best things that happened when UConn won the national championship a couple of years ago was when Shabazz Napier said, and by the way, we're hungry. Because you know what that led to? That led to schools going, oh yeah, well, let's give you food pretty much 24 hours a day. When Shabazz Napier used his voice to bring up, I had no idea, and I covered college sports for years. I walked into the locker rooms of the CU Buffaloes. I've been, you know, in coaches' meetings. I've talked to the athletes. Not only at the Division I level, the Division II level, not one time did I ever run into a situation where an athlete was hungry. In fact, I thought it was the exact opposite. I envisioned a line, a buffet line of fine delicacies available anytime they wanted, with an on-call chef at 2 a.m. making delicious cheese and mushroom omelets because a linebacker was like, yeah, I'm starving. It's 2 a.m. What are you going to do? Well, sir, would you like a little bit of a Gruyere on that omelet? Yeah, give me some of that Gruyere. That's the way I thought they lived. I had no idea they didn't have enough food. Shabazz Napier said, we don't have enough food. He used his voice. The Missouri student athletes believed something. Right or wrong, no matter how you saw the Missouri issue, right or wrong, they believed in something. And they used their voice to do it. And once their coach supported in them, power was extracted by their protest to force some sort of change. This bill has the audacity because it was because people didn't like that the fact that whatever action they caused came because a bunch of scholarship athletes dared to use their voice and power, dared to say something, dared to participate in something, refused to do something. How dare they? Shut up and play. How dare they? You're on a scholarship. How dare they? You're using taxpayer money to get your education. You will do what we say and you will be quiet about it. Do you know where that works? When you're an employee. When you're an employee. I bet you many of you out there have jobs where you don't get to say what you want. Your social media status is looked at. Maybe your boss has a problem with the way you chat online. Maybe you've said some things on Twitter or Facebook that you shouldn't have said, representing your company in a not so good way. But those are the agreements that you make by working for Company X. Guess who's not employees? By every single measure that the NCAA has ever tried to pull on the student athletes. And the same NCAA that is supported by these state representatives in Missouri who put this bill into place. You think Rick Bratton wants these employees to be speaking out? Because guess what? If you're employees, then you better be getting some other monetary value for your work. And when you're an employee, you have rights as employees. Like, oh, I don't know, how about proper health care? Oh, but that's not going to happen. How about you think this through, Missouri representatives, before you embarrass yourself by putting out a bill that squashes freedom of speech? You may not like what these kids said. You may not like the end result of their action spoke. But you know what? By God, they have the right to do this. They have the right to say something. They have the right to speak out. My God, they have no other avenue for change than speaking out. Because you know why? Because the NCAA and these institutions for years should have looked after a lot of them and didn't look after a lot of them. And so when Shabazz Napier says, we're hungry, and everybody associated with that problem was embarrassed, guess who got free food 24 hours a day? The athletes. Good for them. Good for them. They should be ashamed of this bill. Absolutely ashamed of it. Should be embarrassed. That in a country that has this kind of, that we have this kind of freedom that has been fought for and died for, that these knuckleheads in the Missouri State Representative decided it would be cool to pass a bill that would squash free speech because they didn't like what they said. Great job. Great job. All right, coming up next, we'll talk more of the NFL coming up and the matchups that we'll see this weekend. If you want to get your thoughts in, 800-777-2907. And Johnny Manziel is Johnny Money because somebody may be getting rich off a signature. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio as we continue through the night tonight. Getting ready for the weekend of NFL action. Oh, I'm going to miss. I'm already missing college football. Oh, but I'm not looking forward to the bowl season starting. I don't like those initial bowl games right off the bat. I jump in on them. It's like when you just jump into the swimming pool, regardless of how cold it is outside. You say, I just want to swim. I don't care what I'm getting. You know what? You know what we're getting on Saturday?
No, I'm trying to know which one.
5 bowl games coming up on Saturday. Okay, you ready for them?
Yeah, I was going to say, anything worth looking forward to?
Okay, here we go. Are you ready? Yes. I'm going to give you all 5 matchups. Ready. The Air Force Reserve Celebration Bowl. This game is being played at the Georgia Dome in Atlanta between Alcorn State and North Carolina A&T. The Cure Bowl. Which I think, by the way, has something to do with breast cancer research. I think that's why they're calling it the Cure Bowl.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Orlando at the Citrus Bowl. Always a good bowl hangout. San Jose State against Georgia State.
Is Georgia State the team that just got in the very last weekend?
I think so.
By beating Georgia Southern?
I think you're right.
The other way around?
I think you're right. This is the Georgia State team that had R.J. Hunter, remember, in the basketball tournament? Mm-hmm. Who'd they beat? Do you remember? Was it Iowa State?
Yes,
I think they beat Iowa State.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Look at me putting you on the spot like you remember a 68-team tournament.
Right.
And who won particular
games.
Yes, they
won 76-42.
Right, exactly. Oh, yeah. And then he finished with 14 points and 8 rebounds.
In 20 minutes and 13 seconds.
So, you're right. I think Georgia State got in by beating Georgia Southern in the final week of the season. The Gildan New Mexico... Is that the paint company, Gildan Paint?
Yeah,
I think that is.
Yeah.
Gildan New Mexico Bowl will be played in Albuquerque at University Stadium. This is between Arizona and New Mexico. Arizona was one of those, hey, Pac-12 looking pretty good type of teams at the beginning of the season. And they ended up at the New Mexico Bowl in Albuquerque. Yikes. New Mexico. I know nothing about the Lobos. Nothing. I think they were one of the better teams in the Mountain West, but I know nothing about them.
No. Okay, so we're 0-3.
Okay, I'm sorry, did I say 5? We have 6.
Okay.
The Royal Purple Las Vegas Bowl, played in Las Vegas, Sam Boyd Stadium, between BYU and Utah. That's a game.
There's the game to
watch.
That's
the game. That's the Holy War.
Yes.
That was a big rivalry back in the day. I got a good story about that one. Back in 2004, like I just said, it was a good story. I don't even remember the year. Urban Meyer had the team undefeated and heading to a BCS bowl before he boogied off to Florida. And they were playing BYU. And a win by Utah meant that every team in the Mountain West Conference would get a share of the BCS money pie that Utah would be getting. And the Mountain West Conference commissioner had to say publicly that he was not actively rooting for Utah to win that game. And everyone said he lied. If you're sitting on a potential $7 million, I mean, we talked about this for like a day. We were like a day or two saying, oh my God, if you're the commissioner, how do you hide your displeasure at anything good that BYU does in the game? Like, you're at the game, you're hanging around with dignitaries of the Mountain West Conference, and how do you hide and go with a straight face when this is costing, this a BYU win costs you millions of dollars? Of course, BYU wanted to win the game. Of course, it's a natural rival. But it was, I mean, Utah had to go to a BCS because they were going off on this thing like nobody respects us. And then Urban Meyer in Utah was like, no, you can respect us with Alex Smith. Raycom Media Camellia Bowl? Oh, please tell me I mispronounced that. Camellia Bowl? That's going to be in Montgomery, Alabama. Between Ohio and Appalachian State. See, I don't know anything about Appalachian State, but I know for years they were very, very good. When they beat Michigan, Michigan gets a real bad rap for losing to Appalachian State that year at the Big House in 2007. And they should. I mean, they were a highly ranked team and Appalachian State was a D2 school. But Appalachian State was not just a D2 school. They were one of the top D2 schools in D2.
If I'm not mistaken, they were back-to-back champions.
I think they won back-to-back champions. So it's not like they were playing some scrappy team that barely could put a team together and was like taking the bus everywhere they had to go. Appalachian State was like a legit D2 champion. Still, they should have won, but yes. Nevertheless. And then finally the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl at the Superdome between Arkansas State and Louisiana Tech. Louisiana Tech is the team that I am paying attention to, because at quarterback at Louisiana Tech is Jeff Driscoll, who basically got kind of a raw deal at Florida. He led the Gators to the Sugar Bowl and then never really worked out in using another. He used there were like 3 different coordinators he had to get used to under Will Muschamp, and it just didn't pan out. He ended up transferring to Louisiana Tech. So there you have it. Those are 6 bowl games that are coming up on Saturday, and outside of BYU Utah, did it tickle your fancy in any one of those?
No.
I didn't think so.
No, that'd be I'll probably watch some more college basketball. That'll be my day.
Yeah, that'll be good. And don't forget Jets-Cowboys.
Yes,
that's on Saturday,
Jets-Cowboys,
too.
Saturday
Jets-Cowboys. I'll be watching that one very closely. Go Cowboys. Anything, I got to get the Jets out of the playoff picture.
For me, college football really doesn't start until after Christmas.
Okay. All right. Well, hold on. I'm going to try to entice you with a couple of bowl games later on in the year to see if I can get you interested in anything else. How about on December 26th, the day after Christmas? Okay. You ready?
Yes.
Real quick. How about Miami, Washington State, the El Paso Hyundai Sun Bowl in El Paso?
It'd definitely be something I'd check out and see how the game's flowing. And yeah, I would definitely watch it probably.
Foster's Farms Bowl in Santa Clara at Levi's Stadium between UCLA and Nebraska.
I like watching Josh Rosen.
I like watching Josh Rosen.
I don't like Nebraska at all, but
no.
I like watching Josh Rosen, Paul Perkins. God, can
bring Tom Osborne back. Can he come back and coach?
Yeah,
or is he just way too old?
Wasn't he
a senator?
He was something.
I know he was in Washington. I couldn't remember if he was a senator. You know how I remember when he was a senator? When he ran, my best friend from college runs political campaigns for a living, and he runs big political campaigns for a living. And he was telling me about Tom Osborne. And he said Tom Osborne, when he ran for, I think, senator, whatever he ran for, I can't remember. He said it was so funny because they would do, like, his opponent and him would go on around the state and they would speak at different farm groups and things like that. And they would just meet with people and they would basically, you know, his opponent would talk and then Tom Osborne would talk and the voters got to ask questions and all that good stuff. He said Tom Osborne was brilliant because they would have like, his opponent would stand up in front of these farmers and he would say, "We have to get better health care for you and your families. And if I go to Washington, I will make sure that health care for all Americans is a priority, but especially Nebraska farmers that are struggling to get the quality health care you deserve. And I have a 5-point plan that I know will be able to make your lives easier." And then the guy would go through his 5-point plan and he would break it down. He'd say, "And these are your premiums. And this is how much you'll pay. And this is the cost. And this is how much under my plan you would have to pay it as savings. It would be incredible for you and your family. This is how I will fix the healthcare problem for the farming community." And then Tom Osborne would get up and he would go, "Healthcare. I wish we had quality healthcare before the 1983 Orange Bowl when Tommy Smith went down with that ankle injury." And everyone would go, "Oh, yeah, coach, I remember that. Oh, yeah. Wish you had good health care then. Remember that? The offensive lineman, he went down. He had the flu, I think. Right, coach? Yeah, he had the flu right before that game against Oklahoma. Remember that? He had the flu, and he was shivering all night long, and we couldn't get a lick of blocking out of him. But I'll tell you right now, our running game was pretty good. But quality health care is important. I just wish we had it for our players back then when we won that national championship game." And then the place would just eat it up.
The other candidate
devour
would just throw his papers in the air and walk out.
Walk out. Just go, "I can't compete with this. What am I doing here? I can't compete with Tom Osborne. He's a walking god." Tom Osborne could have said, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to raise all your taxes, take every single dime, because when at the end of the day, I won a couple of national championships." People go, "Oh, Tom Osborne." Politics. Sports guys. I know that a number of different guys have gone, like Steve Largent, I think, was a representative in Congress. I guess he was pretty good. But so my friend tells me that story about Tom Osborne. So I just always think, imagine trying to be a farmer who just loves Nebraska football, has generationally loved Nebraska football. And you go to a town hall meeting and there's Tom Osborne talking about stuff, and you're not even listening. All you're just doing is, "I just want to talk about football with this guy. This is the guy. He is Nebraska football." All right, so Nebraska, UCLA on December 26th, maybe. How about December 29th, Baylor and North Carolina in the Citrus Bowl in Orlando? Come on, that's got to be intriguing.
Yeah, that's intriguing.
That's a very intriguing game. North Carolina, that high-powered offense that almost won the ACC title. Baylor, if they were healthy, could have won the Big 12.
That's going to be a 55-52 game.
No, that's going to be fun. How about the Advocare V100 Texas Bowl in Houston? You could go to this as a member of the media at NRG Stadium, Texas Tech against LSU. The high-flying power of Red Raiders football against the pound and ground, the ground and pound running game of LSU.
No.
LSU, you had your chance.
Yeah, I'm not interested in going and watching Brandon Harris try and throw a ball like 6 yards.
No, you're not.
I should really suit up for LSU and just go play quarterback.
Exactly.
Over him.
Patrick Mahomes might throw for 400 and 500 yards. He could against LSU, maybe. I don't know. That defense is pretty good.
So I know we're going to get on this conversation tomorrow, but where do you have a feeling that Kyler Murray and Kyle Allen end up as they both?
That is the strangest story I have seen in a while.
It really is. How do you lose two 5-star quarterbacks in what, 3-4 days?
We've got Mark Passwaters coming up tomorrow, scheduled for tomorrow's show. He writes for AggieYell.com. He is really in tune. If you don't know the story of what's going on in Texas A&M, let me set this up for you. Kevin Sumlin had Johnny Manziel, we all know, right? And then there was all this conversation of who is going to take over after Johnny Manziel leaves, right? Who's gonna be the quarterback? Well, they had Kenny Hill. Remember Hill? Remember him? Remember Kill the Thrill, right? Yep. He won the Heisman Trophy. Kenny Thrill. He won the Heisman Trophy by just demolishing South Carolina in the first game of the season a year ago. Right? I mean, it was just an obliteration. And people were already like talking about the second Heisman Trophy coming their way. But nevertheless, he landed Kyle Allen and Kyler Murray, 2 5-star Texas kids at quarterback, both of them. And Kyle Allen came in first, and then Kyler Murray, who's also a baseball player, came in. So Kevin Sumlin was able to convince 2 5-star quarterback recruits to come to Texas A&M. So naturally, there's quarterback controversy, and it goes back and forth. And they don't have a very good season. They went 8-4, which is below expectations. I know a lot of teams would love 8-4, but Texas A&M could have done better. And Kyle Allen, who was there first, decides he's going to transfer. Now, my initial thought was, oh, of course he's transferring. Maybe Kyler Murray has the inside track on the job, and this is a 5-star kid. He's not sitting on the bench. He's going to go where he's going to play. If it means going somewhere else, it means going somewhere else. So that's fine. But then Kyler Murray decides he's going to transfer, or at least there's belief that he is going to transfer after a meeting that Kevin Sumlin had with his parents. By the way, his father played quarterback at Texas A&M. It's kind of Aggie royalty. And now Kevin Sumlin could lose 2 5-star quarterback recruits to transfers. Now, where do they go? I don't know. That's a good question.
I mean, LSU popped in my head just because they're still searching for a quarterback. There's obviously going to be the year wait because they transferred before.
They have a year wait. What's the deal? Now, this is the one thing I never understood. What's the deal about preventing a kid from going somewhere? You have to grant his release.
Yeah.
Because I've heard this before where they said they wouldn't grant his release to particular school. So because if Kyler Murray decides he wants to go to Texas, Kevin Sumlin ain't gonna let him just go to Texas.
No, I don't see it.
But I don't know if he has a choice, does he? I mean, if the kid's willing to sit out a year, he can't. There's really nothing he can do.
I'm not sure exactly the ins and outs of the rules.
You can't force a kid to stay at a place. It's not indentured servitude here. He's not paying off a debt.
Yeah, I wish I could remember. I'll have to find that out for tomorrow night for sure.
Yeah.
To figure out. Because I know there was a recruit or a player a few years ago that wanted to go somewhere, and the school basically wouldn't let him go to this school, so he had to go somewhere else. And I want to say the school they wouldn't let him go to was Notre Dame. I don't know what player it was. I can't remember. I'll definitely find that out. But, yeah, it definitely happens.
I want to believe, and I'll have to look into it, I believe Baker Mayfield ran into some trouble trying to transfer, and eventually it got all worked out. But I think he was going to have trouble transferring within the conference. But this wouldn't be an in-conference transfer. I don't know why one of those kids wouldn't run to Texas.
Yeah.
I'd run to Texas. If I was a 5-star quarterback and I could change that program, I'd run to Texas. I'd be a little worried about Charlie Strong, but I would run to Texas.
And the bad thing to make things worse for Texas A&M is now they're losing recruits, top recruits, more five-star recruits that are coming in, supposed to be coming in this year.
They lost a top wide receiving community.
He's right.
Why wouldn't they?
He's from the town I live in.
Why wouldn't they? I wouldn't run to that place if I didn't know who's throwing me the ball. I was getting a top-of-the-line Texas pro-style quarterback throwing me passes, and now I don't know who I'm getting.
The kid that they lost is a monster. He's like 6'4", 220, and he's just fast as hell.
I can't wait to talk to Mark Passwaters about this tomorrow, because this is fascinating. And by the way, coaches don't survive this.
No.
Do not survive this. I don't know what they're going to do, because he just signed a deal. He'll be owed a lot of money, but you do not lose 2 5-star quarterback recruits. That you do not do. You do that, kiss it goodbye. And alumni, those boosters ain't going to put up with this. No chance. All right, we'll come back. We'll wrap up the hour on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
This guy's on. Back to him.
Back to the Quicken Loans Studios.
And back to Tony D.
All right, like we said, tomorrow, Mark Passwaters is going to join us. We'll talk about the Texas A&M situation, which I said earlier I think is crazy bizarre. We're also going to be talking about the Broncos and their quarterback situation with Peyton Manning back at practice. We're going to try to land one of our good friends out in Denver to help break that down for you tomorrow. And then, of course, we've got the game viewing guide to the National Football League, and we'll go over all sorts of fun stuff tomorrow. So, again, keep it right here. If you missed any part of the show, check us out, podcastarena.com, /Tony-D, and then you can check out all the shows. We've got shows. How far does it go back? Like a couple of days you can go back?
You can go back and see them all.
Oh, geez, really? Wow. Yep. Wow. That's great. Technology, man. It's fantastic. And also, if you haven't liked our Facebook page, please do. After the new year, I'll be ramping that up. I'll be posting a lot of articles. I'm going to start doing something because, you know what? A lot of times I read articles and I feel like you guys would enjoy the content, and you may not see it in your busy work, and you come and you give us the time of day to listen. So I'm going to start posting the articles that we use, that I use for show prep, on the Facebook page. So it's a good place to, if you hear me say something like, oh, Joe Smith in the Wall Street Journal wrote this article about concussions, and we start citing it, you can go to the Facebook page and you can see the article there. So I'm going to start doing that coming up. By the way, one programming note, I am off all next week for the Christmas holiday, but I will be back the following week. I think it's the 28th into the 29th. So I'll be back that week. And then I'm off closer to the new year. But we will be back on January 1st. We'll be doing our breakdown of the college football playoff games that are going on New Year's Day. By the way, that's going to be a fun New Year's Eve. But my wife said to me, what are we doing New Year's Eve? And I said, I don't know what you're doing New Year's Eve, but I'm watching 2 college football games.
Yeah, for sure.
And she's like, wait a minute, we're not going out to a party? I go, can I? I was like, part of my job is to know these games. I don't know, can I go to a party? And I mean, will they have them on? Can I sit and be antisocial and jot down notes? Or are they going to let me do that? And she's like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, you probably need to watch those. I'm like, all right. We're not going to dance around the New Year's Eve Ryan Seacrest New Year's Eve ball.
I'm going to be very interested to see the ratings, especially from the night game. See what
it's
like,
me too.
You know, being that close to New Year's and people out partying. And
the one thing I worry about it is guys like you and I, we're kind of in the business, but we're big sports fans in the audience here that loves football, it may be interested in. But a lot of times with these games, you get the periphery fan, and I don't know if on a New Year's Eve night you get the periphery fan.
Right.
That's just like the guy that's like, hey, man, I watch these bowl games. I don't, you know, I'm not a huge college football fan, but these bowl games are kind of cool. The guy that doesn't have any rooting interest in any of these teams is probably going to go, look, man, this is the night I go out. I am out. I'm out with my boys. I'm out with my gals. We're going to have a party. We're going to have fun. And let me know who wins later. So I'll be really interested to see the ratings. All right, thanks to Zach Miller who joined us on the show tonight. And thanks to Michael Shoddy. And thanks, of course, to producer extraordinaire Adam Sager. And thanks to you. It's Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.